I'm Fathery.
This is Dave.
And this is Text Track.
Engage.
So today we're going to be talking about the recent production trailer released for Star Trek Discovery. This is the closest thing to a look at what the what we can expect from the show that we've gotten so far.
It's not even like quite, it's not a teaser trailer per se. It is literally like production shots and small glimpses of sets, of costumes. Do you see any characters in it, per se?
We don't really get a good look at any particular characters as far as seeing, like, an actor.
They're not
in,
like, here's the
costume.
Captain, or here's... Yeah, It's like we're seeing the movie through, like, sort of an obscured glass, or the show, you know, we're getting a glimpses of the production. Just broadly speaking, did you like it?
I liked it, but a big part of that was because I'm so hungry for something.
You're voracious.
I will take whatever they give me at this point.
A voracious consumer of all things Trek.
What do you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't kind of until I went and looked at some of the stills again, which I think neither of us are kind of the people who really like to, like when a trailer comes out, do a frame-by-frame analysis.
Right.
But when I looked at some of the stills of this, I have to admit, I was like, oh... That was kind of cooler looking than I thought it was at just a glance. At a glance, it looked kind of cool, but I'm like, I think I know what that is. Or, oh, that gives me a little bit of insight or some sense of maybe what they might do. So my first reaction was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then when I looked at some of the stills, I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so we're just going to break down the trailer and talk about it and the things that really stood out to us. You know, starting off, I can see that they're clearly trying to tie Discovery back into the history of Star Trek.
The lineage.
Which is kind of, I guess you could say J.J. did it in some ways with the Kelvin movies. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a complete 180 where this is connecting it not just to the existing Star Trek, but we open with, in 1964, Gene Roddenberry set down to define Star Trek, and then we cut to... Just a slew of pictures of Star Trek being shot. Not stills from episodes, but actual production footage. The actors and the people and the crew on the set working.
Right, like those shots where you can tell that they're a set on it. It's not the polished, finished production. And it's all the different eras.
Right,
so you can
see
original series, Next Gen, Enterprise.
I didn't see any Enterprise. There was some DS9 and Voyager.
Oh, really? I thought I glimpsed an Enterprise in there, but it was... It might not have been. That did kind of fly by in a blur.
Yeah, I see Chakotay... I see a board.
I think I saw what looked like a reclining woman, and I was like, is that T'Pol? But I'm not even 100% sure it was a woman. There was somebody who was like lying down on their side or something like that. I don't know. I might have made it up.
But one of the things I really liked is that we're also seeing shots of when the actors would direct episodes. You see Robert Picardo, who played the Doctor on Voyager, giving some direction in the bridge and stuff like that. So that type of stuff kind of like hammers in the, Star Trek is kind of a family. It's kind of like it's this big collaboration, a lot of creators working together. And so that's definitely the vibe they're trying to spin for Discovery, and I think that's a good way to go, and I'm hoping that's what translates into the show. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, we see some sets being constructed.
Right, they do that kind of that sort of high speed time lapse photography where you see the real high speed set being constructed. A little hard to see what they actually are, you know. You might not be able to say oh, that's the bridge or that's the sick bay. I felt like if I was to just throw out a wild stab, engineering or some kind of alien base or something like that. They did seem that there was some interesting little curvatures and designs in there that maybe suggested something slightly alien to me, which would be cool. One of the things I liked in the first episode of Enterprise was the stuff that was set on that space station. You know.
Oh, the Sulaban Helix.
Is that what it is? Well, not on the. Well, it's the one where there's it's more of a. Space rest stop kind of thing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Where they do first encounter them.
Where they have the Coors Light twins.
Do they? What?
Yeah, the Coors Light twins are in the first episode of Enterprise. They're two girls dancing and eating bugs with their frog tongues.
Yeah, I remember the scene. I did not know that those were the Coors Light
girls.
Yeah,
from the commercials with the twins.
Yeah. Wow, that's
more trivia for you.
That doesn't necessarily bode well didn't bode well for Enterprise, but I did like that scene. I kind of like when they go to some exotic locale. So anyway, you can't tell from the production, but it looked cool to me.
And there are a couple different sets over the course of the trailer that we do see being constructed, and some of them definitely do look alien or at least weird compared to normal Star Trek conventions.
Right.
We see the what do you call that thing?
Clapper board. Yeah, that you do when you're cut or what do they say when they want the action? Action.
Yeah.
When they want the action. So, yeah. You can tell that we're both deeply involved in film production
for sure. I think they just did this just to prove to everyone that principal production or principal photography did actually begin on January 25th.
Right.
So we are getting Discovery. It is coming. They are actually shooting it now. The first thing that really stood out to me, though, that I feel like we'd have to stop and talk about, there are three sets of what look like alien armor.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have been saying they might be Klingon suits.
It looks like Klingon suits to me.
You think so? Well, let's talk about this.
Okay. All right, so this looks like these... if I were to start with a visual descriptor, I would say start with the Star Trek... the classic Klingon uniforms of the from the Star Trek motion picture era onward. That's that armored, segmented armor look that they have. But add on a sort of bone-like... H.R. Giger alien sort of quality to it, so that it looks like there's a spiked spinal column sort of thing to the shoulder pads on one, or it looks like some animal's spinal column that had spikes on it. Definitely sort of a segmented bone-like armor, even the rib there. It looks like a rib cage. Now it's not necessarily Klingons, but I could easily see this being Klingons.
Okay. I'm going to have a little bit of a different take on it.
Yeah, what's your wrong opinion?
I will fucking hate it if this is the Klingon armor.
Why?
Because I care about continuity.
Do you want it to be the Klingon armor we know?
I don't think that they
will... But
you
know they're going to rethink all this stuff visually.
Yeah, I know.
Just like Enterprise did.
I know not to expect the same costumes that were used in the 60s when they first showed... Klingons, which is the closest time period to the time we know Discovery is set.
Right. It's actually before the original series, so if anything, it should look like a progenitor to the original series if they were really going to try for that.
Yeah, and this just doesn't seem to fit into the what we know as normal Klingon attire. The only way I think it would kind of work, or at least the only way it would work for me, if they kind of do what Star Trek 09 did,
mm-hmm.
and these aren't military Klingons, they're kind of their own faction, they're separate from the Klingon Empire, they're just kind of doing their own thing. The Romulans in Star Trek 2009 were very weird compared to most Romulans. I was kind of okay with it because they weren't supposed to be, you know, members of the normal Romulan military.
They were radicalized minors. So let me ask you, when Enterprise came out, were you bugged by the fact that that ship did not look like it would be the kind of ship that would lead into Kirk's Enterprise? It was kind of gray, more slick, did have a more of a burnished steel look, it did look older, but it did not look like a really progenitor to Kirk's NASA-esque.
I thought it did, though. I thought in Season 4, where they have the Defiant mm-hmm. from the ship that gets captured in the Tholian web
mm-hmm.
and sent somewhere else, it shows up in Season 4 of Enterprise.
I ain't seen that one yet.
You should check it out. But when you see it, when you see the original Matt Jeffries-designed Constitution-class starship,
mm-hmm.
it does look like it's more advanced than the NX-01.
Oh, that's interesting. But generally speaking, you know, like, the interiors and stuff like that, they look more advanced
yeah.
than a 60s
computer consoles, everything, communicators.
Right. Now, did that bug you?
At the time, I understood that they were trying to make things look in the future of 2001, but in the past of the 23rd century.
Mm-hmm.
And with the look that was established in the 60s, it was kind of hard to do. But I think that they found a good balance. Some things that they did on Enterprise did kind of bug me, but most of the time I thought they did a great job. However, I think that this weird armor for the Klingons would not be as passable as some of the things that they did on Enterprise. To me, this is just like really weird and doesn't fit in the continuity, and it'll bother me rest of my life.
And to me, it only seems like what might be an upgraded, like a modernized version of Star Trek movie, and aka all the next gen era Klingons. And if they essentially retcon it into place as visually, I don't think it'll particularly bother me.
One thing that I do think we will see, though, are more influences from the original series movies.
Mm-hmm.
Movies 1 through 6. We'll see more of that type of look, I think, than from the original series.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that is still kind of a futuristic look, it does kind of... It becomes closer to fitting in the time period.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the same thing that they really did with the Kelvin movies, which are set a little bit... It is in kind of an altered timeline, but
right.
it's pretty close to the same time period, a little bit before the original series. But a lot of the stuff on there looked a lot more like the movies, like the plating of the Enterprise. It looked more like
right.
the motion picture refit, where it was segmented.
Right.
Stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they decide, we can't make the original series designs work on a modern project, but some of the stuff from the movies we can kind of borrow from that. That might be what we end up seeing.
You know, I feel like my original, the first time I sort of had that feeling of like, I don't know how this quite fits, was to some degree the Next Generation, and I guess by the Star Trek movies version of the Klingons, did not quite fit what we had seen with the original show. The original show, they tended to be sort of more guileful, and they became sort of more overtly barbaric, I would say. They would later pull back on Next Generation and show these kind of like their Game of Thronesian politicking behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But for a little while, Klingons were the guys who were like, attack! You know, when they showed up. And that bugged me at the time.
Yeah, and that was probably just finding a niche for them now that they couldn't be the regular bad guys anymore.
Right.
Well, what else do you do with Klingons in Star Trek when they can't be bad guys?
Right. Yeah, you can kind of start investigating Warrior's Code and all of that stuff. But I think my broader point is I think probably once I learned to live with that, and learned to live with the Romulan tweaks that they did in Next Generation from the original series, I kind of stopped worrying too much about the continuity stuff. You're more of a continuity whore, so I understand your ways. But If those are Klingons, it will not bother me. And in fact, I think those could be Klingon, cool Klingon outfits.
Now, we do have three Klingon characters and three sets of armor, so we will see. Moving on.
You might want to just brace yourself on that one.
It's not going to be a deal breaker, but I'm definitely taking points off.
Okay.
You
do that.
Moving on, we do see some pictures hanging up in a room that are labeled Exterior Discovery. They look a lot like the CGI model that was released last year that we got a look of. I have noticed a little bit of tweaks on like the impulse engines on the aft of the ship, but it still pretty much looks like the same
basic
ship.
Ralph McQuarrie design.
We know that it was tweaked though, so I am still I don't think this is the final version. I think it's going to look different whenever we do eventually see it. It'll be close in as far as the shape, but I think some of the details are not going to match what we've seen so far.
The saucer seems kind of oddly small on it. And I know that, like, in that one clip, the one still there, you know, the perspective is from the rear, so you would expect the nacelles and sort of the body of the ship to be a little bit larger. But just sort of surprised that the saucer seems a little unusually small.
Yeah, they might have actually changed the proportion on there. I'm not sure. What is also interesting in this image, though, from the production trailer, if you look to the left of these Exterior Discovery pictures, you see something that looks like it's labeled the Shinshu Bridge.
Right.
So we do have a layout of that bridge. You can only see one part of it. It kind of looks like you might have a view screen on one end. But at least now we know that we will see the bridge at some point on the other ship. So the we might be dealing with two ships for a while. Being that it's this early, that's probably going to be something we see in the pilot.
Right. I like the idea if they run with it of them having either a sister ship or an escort on whatever their mission they're on, working in tandem with them somehow. That seems like could be cool. Only downside is that, you know, you don't kind of get the completely self-contained quality of a lot of Star Trek series where the ship is the world, you know, other than the planets they visit.
And if you're doing a multiple ship story, which we know that they're kind of doing with the Klingons, probably we're going to be seeing the Klingon ship a lot, but that makes it even weirder to call the show Star Trek Discovery and not have it be set primarily on the Discovery.
Right. But it may be primarily on the Discovery and, you know, a few minutes in a given episode showing their escort ship or whatever. I don't know.
But I like the idea of having a fleet and having different ships. You know, one thing that I hate in the original series is that and I know they didn't have the money to have new designs and new models, but every time you see a Starfleet ship, it's another Constitution.
Right.
Especially,
you want to see some different classes, some destroyers, some frigates, some other types,
or even just, you know, similar ships but just a different design.
Right.
You know, when
maybe with some racing stripes.
When you get to DS9 and you have those huge fleet battles, you see just a plethora of Starfleet ship designs, and they kind of do that with the Klingons also. There's a bunch of different Klingon ships and.
By the way, well, I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish thought.
I didn't have much of a thought left.
All right, in that case, what I was going to say is, as far as, like, sister capital ships, the closest I can think of was on the new Battlestar Galactica when the Pegasus showed up, and they interacted frequently. You only sometimes really saw the interior of the ship, although you often saw the captain of the Pegasus talking, but it did create an interesting new dynamic for the show. It was for sure a different vibe than what the show had been before. Even though it cut between all kinds of different ships in their sort of ragtag fleet. I'll just be curious to see what vibe they're going to want to go for.
So the next image we're going to talk about, it looks like an actor with a helmet on. There's a few different theories on this. You can see it. It has several things going on. It looks like there's a ridge on top of the helmet, which might be a Klingon space helmet for a Klingon environmental suit. There's a cord coming in on the side. I don't know if that's to record the actor's dialogue or give them oxygen or what's going on, but I don't think we're meant to see this back of the suit. Some people have been speculating that it's motion capture. It does kind of look like Doug Jones, so this could be Saru, but I don't... And maybe they just have, like, a neat design on the helmet to give the actor something to play off of.
Mm-hmm. If they did have a recurring character who was used motion capture, had a fully CG face, I don't know that I've seen any ongoing shows that have done that, like any sci-fi shows, you know, whether we're talking about, like, older Stargate stuff or... Galactica, actually Galactica didn't have much in the way of aliens, but that, I don't know if they would have the budget to do it frequently on the show,
right.
But if this guy was somebody that was not always around all the time, somebody they call on occasionally, you know, I suppose a weird analogy, but like how they would occasionally go and visit Kosh on Babylon 5, but he wasn't he wasn't all over the place. Then I could see still having a fairly notable lead character or among the leading cast who you could actually do motion capture, you know, very strange alien features with. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and you could probably get away with the motion capture CGI if it was not in every episode. Kind of like you can do Gorilla Grodd on The Flash,
right?
But he can only show up like twice a season,
right?
Moving on, this is what I think is probably the most exciting thing in this trailer. We finally get a look at a uniform. We see that it has a collar on it. It's kind of like the Enterprise blue, or almost purple. And we see a badge on the chest. Dave, what do you think about this uniform?
I'm not a fan of collars in Star Trek, of those sort of formal flip-down collars, because they seem a little too militaristic to me, and I like the more exploratory nature of them. That's why I like sort of like the, I guess, no collars at all, if I'm not mistaken, other than the sort of little black collar rings sort of in Kirk's era.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they have, like, slight collars, they were just sort of that, like, I don't know even what you call it, but they were slightly upturned collars around the neck in Next Generation era.
Well, when you get to Deep Space Nine and Voyager, they're kind of, it's almost like a turtleneck under the
right
the rest of the uniform, but I always thought those looked really good.
Yeah, I think that's a good look. Now, I'm not necessarily discounting this. I just kind of generally, the same way in the Kelvin movies, when you saw them at the Academy and they had, like, those military caps on, It didn't feel Trekky to me, because, now, that's an interesting point of contrast. When I was a kid, my favorite uniforms were the Scarlet, yeah, Crimson sort of movie era ones, which are by I think, most standards would be some of the most militaristic ones they have.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt very strong design work. But as a kid, I was a little bit more drawn into that sort of military battleship sort of quality of the shows, and you know, like almost like the game qualities that might come out, because I was actually playing, like, there were games that came out around Star Trek 2 and 3 era, the little small board games and stuff that would recreate some of the battles in it, and so yeah, you know, the way kids kind of are obsessed with, like, who has the superhero with the highest strength level, you know, what's his speed, you know, I saw numerical representations of these ships, could see them put to use in games, and I was kind of drawn to that, you know, those questions of what ships were better at what, and that kind of military aspect that's usually, honestly, downplayed in the shows, but sometimes rises to the front, the naval combat stuff. It's interesting looking. It's handsome. I like the sort of gold braid thing that's going on the side, if that's what I think it is.
So what do you think this is for? Do you think it's like an indication of rank? Like they had the gold bands on the sleeve in the original series?
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I feel like I've seen those kind of bands. Like, is that like based on sort of real world thing?
Not on the shoulder, but yeah, in real life military, a lot of times they have ranks indicated on the sleeves. around the wrists, I think.
Right, but no, I felt like I've literally seen that sort of gold band that wraps around the shoulder on maybe like older uniforms, like Napoleonic era or something like that.
Or is it gold because it's indicating that this individual is in command?
Yeah, I can see it. It does sort of have... If everybody had that, it would be weirdly... It was almost a weird level of ornamentation for Star Trek. So that's a little bit... I bet it's command. I'm almost certain that's a command uniform.
But I'm almost certain that you're wrong, because...
What?
If you look at this guy's...
Yep.
That is the engineering logo, not the command logo.
Okay, so maybe it's an officer thing, though. Maybe it's for the chief engineer. And officers will be demarked by this little sort of gold braid thing that they have.
Unless they're going by the cage, which would be around about a year away from when Discovery takes place, where they didn't have... red shirts for the engineers and security people.
Right.
So maybe the gold is a more common color, and engineers are wearing gold. Some of the things I noticed...
I'm going to throw out this theory that they are really not paying much attention to visual continuity with the cage.
Well, that's a heartbreaker.
I know you would like them to.
I want them to have the exact sweaters from the pilot, the cage.
Well, when we talked about the cage, we did agree... They were kind of cool looking. It was a good general look.
And I know the thing with Axanar has been settled now.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about Axanar a lot on here, but I don't really get into the fan films at all. But I'll say this about Axanar. The trailer they made looked cool. Everyone who watched it wanted to see an Axanar movie. And they had the uniforms from the cage.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as this goes, though, I do see a lot of resemblance to the Kelvin uniform from the 2009 movie. Just the way that it's kind of mainly one color, and everyone kind of has that same shirt.
The ship from the very opening, is this the only time you see that uniform?
Yes. Yeah,
so this is
the only
Kirk's
time
dad,
you see it.
Kirk's dad in command of the ship in the emergency scenario. And did everybody have that kind of navy blue?
Yeah, I think some people might have had a different color, but the rest of it was kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed here, though, looking at George Kirk, that he has his rank indicated on his sleeve, on his wrist.
In the classic Trek tradition.
Another interesting thing, you know how in the original series, it was kind of implied that only the Enterprise crew had the Delta, the Arrowhead badge, mm-hmm. whenever they would show other people from Starfleet, most of the time they gave them a different badge on their shirt.
Right.
Although sometimes they didn't. If you look at the episode Court Martial, everyone still has that same Enterprise style badge or patch or whatever you want to call it.
I had forgotten, to be honest, that was supposed to be an Enterprise-centric thing. I think I always just thought it was a Federation thing.
Well, that's what they did in the motion picture going forward.
They ran with it.
But here's the thing that bugged me about that, and this is where I have to give Enterprise credit, because they did it right. On Enterprise, they just abolished the Delta altogether,
mm-hmm.
but they had a patch on their shoulder that said what ship they were on.
Right.
When they showed people on
It looked like astronaut patches.
Yeah, or just like real military stuff.
Right, it looked cool.
But when they showed someone on the Columbia, they had a different patch on there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have the NX-01 Enterprise on it. So they were aware of this on Enterprise. Then in Star Trek 09, we see the Kelvin, which is supposed to be the divergence from the prime timeline.
Right.
So, in theory, the Kelvin existed in the classic Star Trek timeline of the original series, The Next Generation, and for some reason they had the Enterprise-style Delta or Arrowhead
right.
on their uniforms. And it looks like Discovery has that as well.
It's a sharp looking version of the badge. It looks a little thicker than I expected it to. A little more. If I'm reading that visually right, it looks a little sort of more sculpted and three dimensional than I felt, like a little more prominent. Like it might be heavy on your boob.
Yeah, like the original series, it looked like it was just like a patch that was glued on or ironed on.
Right.
And everything else, it was like a metallic badge.
Everybody's issued an official Delta iron-on when they join up.
Pretty much. Here's my theory on it. I think they are going to do the every ship has their own mm-hmm. thing. This is why it has this split or like this black side to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the right side of it, you know, it's a different color. It's a darker color.
Do you think that's actually a different color, or do you think it's just the way the gold is catching the light?
I think it's a different color, because they've also changed their logo to kind of match that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at that in a second. I might be wrong, but I think they wanted to keep the... just to show the show, to promote it, I think they wanted to keep the iconography, the easily recognized Star Trek logo...
Mm-hmm.
But still wanted to tweak it for continuity. That's my hope, anyways. There's one other thing on here, on this badge, that I haven't heard many people pick up on, but there seems to be, like, a pip or something that might be indicating rank, but it's so hard to notice. You
right.
really have to zoom in to see it.
It's in the left hand, the left side of the Delta.
If you're looking at it, it's on the left, near the, kind of near the bottom.
Yeah, it looks like either, like, a little notch cut out of it, or, like, either, like... Yeah, it's clearly not just some trick of the light. It's some... There is a like, a three-dimensional, like, notch or of some sort.
You know what this really looks like, though?
What?
The toys that used to come out, you probably, like, know this from working at a toy store
mm-hmm.
in the past, but the Star Trek toys, they would come with, like, these insignias to stand on is like a base.
Yes.
It looks like the thing that you plug into the action figure's foot to lock them in place.
Right, right.
So that looks like.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. So maybe these guys could instantly take off their badge and put an action figure on it.
Yeah,
it's going to
sure.
be an interesting marketing perspective.
But another thing is that this could be a dress uniform that isn't worn regularly, or it could be a field jacket, like in the Cage and on Enterprise. They'd put on jackets when they beam down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that's the case, because it's weird to have a blue color, gold band, engineering logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of I mean, this could have also just been someone in the costume department just putting shit on to take a picture of
right.
in the trailer. I don't know, but I'm hoping this isn't just the normal uniform people wear around on the ship, because it's just a continuity nightmare. It's going to distract the hell out of me.
This is interesting, our next image.
So, yeah, moving forward, we have a couple of shots of what looks like a Starfleet ship. Very different from the Discovery.
Not an actual model of the ship or, like, something you would see on a view screen, but rather what would be on, like, a screen on the Enterprise, like a science station or something, and it has what looks kind of like those old 3D, like, vector models of the ships that you might, when you're like, pull up the data on that ship, you know, this is what might pull up.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if this is something made to be shown on camera on a display on the bridge or something like that, where this is just something in the special effects department of early model they're creating.
Now that I'm looking at it, my first thought was that it was something from the bridge, but now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, that looks like an actual screen with sort of relevant data to like a renderer, somebody working on it. Did I see like frames per second? Yeah. I think this is like their... Yeah, it's not a view. It's not something you would see on the bridge. After all, I misspoke. I think this is probably a not fully rendered ship that we would see, but it's not the Discovery, right?
Right.
Do we think that's
my guess? Is this is the Shenzhou
Michelle Yeoh's ship.
Michelle Yeoh's ship. It looks kind of like Miranda classy or the Akira class.
You know what's weird is, to me, it looks like a more advanced design of it.
It does. And I have another theory about this.
I will say, by the way, Miranda, one of my very favorite designs, and just based on its link to that, I whatever, even if it looks a little more futuristic than the Miranda does, even and it's supposed to be like 20 years earlier or whatever it is, it's cool looking. I like this ship.
But I think it looks more futuristic. And we know that John Eves is working on Star Trek Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a really great designer. But most of the work he did was on Enterprise or on the shows set in the 24th century. One design that he did was actually for a Star Trek fan group in Australia. He designed their ship for them. They actually commissioned him to design a ship, and he created the USS Smallson. That looks exactly like this.
I'm not going to say exactly, but it is pretty close.
Yeah, like, look at the this is a very unique style of the nacelles. We don't really see this on Federation ships.
Right. They have a slightly sharper look, usually, but I think where these taper in the back, the Mawson is slightly different, and the Mawson had, like, a little sort of, where its little aft torpedoes fire from, had some little projectiles removing, coming from there that seem to have slid further down the arms that lead to the nacelles on the other one. But I will say, you're right, there's clearly, he was probably thinking of this. You know, that was probably coming from him. There's a strong link between them.
So what about this? What if it is a more advanced ship from the future?
Yeah.
And they also went into the black hole that Spock created when he stopped the supernova. And so Spock and Nero created the Kelvin timeline.
Uh-huh.
And Michelle Yeoh and her crew create the Discovery timeline.
Those of you listening to the purely audio version of this may not be able to see the look of horror on my face as I contemplate the Kelvin timeline of the movies intermixing in any way, shape, or form with the show, which I desperately want to just stand on its own. I don't think that they want to throw people into that pit of time travel continuity. I pray not. It's not the craziest theory I've heard. I just don't want it to be.
I don't think that's very likely, though. This is just me trying
to... Why did you hurt my heart?
This is just me trying to justify why a more advanced-looking ship is going to be in the... flying around in the 2250s.
It's the exact same reason that the Romans are going to have... Right, Romans. The Klingons are going to have bone armor, is because they're going to have to take 2017 visual design stuff, and they're just going to kind of retrofit it in there. And it's going to have to hurt your heart.
No. We do have some more blueprints that kind of give a look at what I think is probably a bridge. It's labeled Attilio. I don't know if...
it's the designer. That's the name of the ship.
Yeah, that's some kind of production code word. Yeah. It looks a little different from what we saw on the... earlier that was labeled the Shimzu Bridge. So maybe this is the look of the Discovery Bridge.
Yeah, it's hard to say. There's not quite enough going on other than a fairly traditional saucer section that you can make out and some blueprinty type, surface detail to it. But yeah, I can't make out a lot on that one.
But it does seem to kind of match the style of the Discovery, how it's kind of a ring within a ring.
Yeah.
It's kind of that same kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a good look at the captain's chair, which we already have seen this. Brian Fuller tweeted a picture of the captain's chair when it was being constructed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like it's really changed much, but that's always just kind of an iconic Star Trek image, is the captain's chair. And this further makes me think we will see our primary character take command. This emphasis right on the captain's chair.
Right. What if that's the first officer's chair? What if that is just how cool a chair the first officer gets?
then that's not really keeping with Star Trek design continuity either, because on the original series, Spock had his own science station, and there wasn't a designated spot for the science officer, for the first officer. Same thing on Enterprise.
What if every chair on the Discovery looks like that?
Then there's not really a point in showcasing it as this prominent prop.
That's because you don't know how important chairs are to the era. I have a semi-serious question for you. That chair also looks a little futuristic compared to Kirk's kind of clunky, boxed-in chair. Now, is that chair going to bother you?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's too different.
Right.
It is closer to Kirk's chair than any of the stuff that came later in the 24th
century.
It seems
like it's got, like more, like, projecty arms, and it almost looks like I could see, like, that, like, it might shift around or something like that if there's, like, you know, if they get bridge damage or something like
that. It looks a lot like the NX-01 captain's chair.
Yeah.
And the original series captain's chair kind of merged together.
It's an interesting thought. Yeah, I can see what you're talking about.
So, it looks like they're paying attention to continuity because they're trying to merge that gap between the designs of Enterprise and the designs of the original series and marry it all together.
If I had to put money down, I don't think you can necessarily rule that in from this chair, and I suspect they're going to be liberal in their interpretation of continuity, but I need to see more before I can put a lot of money down, but I'm going to put down some money on that. I do think you're right, though, that the fact that they chose to show the chair means that the captaincy will be a big thing, and mm-hmm. that, yes, maybe within even, like, the first episode or two, we're going to see this person have to take over. Now, I think it'll be more dramatic if they wait till, like, mid-season finale kind of thing. Captain dies, first officer has to take the command. I don't know if people here have ever seen the space cruiser Yamato, the anime from the 70s.
We talked about that before.
Yeah, or Star Blazers. But yeah, that for sure was a thing there where you had the young Turk had to take over when the old captain died.
Or did he die?
What?
Spoilers. And then the last image is actually the new, slightly tweaked logo that they released. And getting a look at the Star Trek logo here, the Delta in the background, you're right, it is the same color, but it is a very prominent split in there.
Right, there's like it's sort of the little right-hand side of the point thing is sort of offset. It's as if it's like on a slightly different tier than the main part of the main body of the Delta. It was just kind of just an interesting little stylistic affectation. I don't know, I can't make particularly much of it, but it's interesting. It's cool. I like the logo and the very much like the font and everything, which has some of the classic Trek to it, a little bit of the there's a certain sharpness to it, and just because of the Delta and some of the other stuff too, that reminds me a little bit more maybe of some of the movie fonts and stuff.
Yeah,
but I very much like the look of it, except for the V in Discovery, which looks like a Nazi V.
Well,
it has that actually only in the sense that they used that was like that sort of Gothic lettering style in Germanic Nazi stuff. overall, I would not say it's very Nazi-ish. Just that V, it looks like a traditional V in. Call fancy lettering, calligraphy.
Yeah, but 2017, Nazi is in this year, so who knows?
Well, turns out humans are not real smart about that, but maybe Trek can show us the way.
But we're hopefully going to be getting some more looks into Discovery soon. We'll try to stay on top of any new news that comes out, as well as any new trailers that come out going forward. And hopefully we get a release date soon, because we're definitely eager at this point.
Definitely so. I'm dying for the first trailer. I want to see these characters speak. I feel like even if it begins like, you know, what, third quarter 2017 or something like that, that they have to have before too long, have enough footage to do, you know, something that where we can actually glimpse the characters.
And I feel that...
Or do you think they'll play it real close to the vest Netflix style, and they'll do it like 2 weeks beforehand?
No, based on what we're seeing, I think as soon as they have something to promote, they'll want to tell everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Q3 of this year is probably the latest it'll take. I'm kind of hoping for a summer release, but I won't mind waiting till fall.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them maybe change their mind and put the put it in their normal broadcast lineup in the fall.
Yeah.
And just premiere it as a normal news show, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I would too, and I don't think it will either.
Maybe the only way that'll happen, because they're going to do that for the first episode.
Right.
And it's going to be a 2-hour premiere, which is pretty common for Star Trek.
Right. You think if there's a huge tapering off of audience?
Well, I think if it has like a huge reception during that,
they'll be like, oh, let's run.
Yeah, they'll probably be like,
they'll have so much apparatus in place at that point. Can they pull out like that? They're going to have advertisers lined up for their new format and everything. I mean, I'd love it if they could. I don't know if they'll be able to.
Yeah, they seem
pretty
committed.
That's one of those things where I don't know, like, how much, you know, that advertising stuff is, like, just set in stone early on, who they'll have made promises to on it. But, yeah, I would love it for it to blow away ratings, and then they're like, you know what? We're gonna keep it on classic approachable TV.
Or will they?
But then again, I do want to see boobs and hear swears. So
I think they're gonna keep it PG-13.
Yeah, it's fine. All right. In that case, mild nipple visuals and one F-bomb per episode. They can get away with that in PG-13 movies, right?
Yeah, they did get away with T'Pol's side boob in Enterprise.
Those of you listening to the audio version will not be able to see that Father A is typing to Paul's side boob in here. But yeah, that's a standard thing on TV these days. They've gotten away with that for a while.
This was over a decade ago.
Yeah, no, that was still.
I was surprised when I saw this in like 2004. I was like, man, I can't believe they just showed that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But I was glad that they did.
Yeah. I'm for it. And you know what? I'm, you know, as long as we're objectifying, I just like to say, I'm okay, I'm down for some male objectification if they can show, I don't know, some side sack or something like that. I don't know quite what the equivalent of.
Klingon
balls?
Klingon balls.
No, it's got to be like, because here's the thing. The way we eroticize breasts... I feel like it's got to be his package. It's you're gonna have to like you just gonna have to see some bulge.
So
you're gonna have to see his David Bowie labyrinth
on the Klingon junk.
Yeah,
should the head have ridges or not?
Why would anybody assume that? That makes no sense whatsoever. Our foreheads don't have dick visual. Linkage, I don't know. I feel like we should probably wrap this episode up before we spiral out of control. But yeah, sure, yes to ridges.
Alright, well that's going to do it for this installment. But we'll be back soon with some more Discovery news. We're also going to be talking about the Next Generation pilot, Encounter at Farpoint, sometime soon, and then moving along with discussing the other Star Trek pilots as well. So until next time...
Live long and prosper, y'all.
Thank all of you so much for checking out this installment of Text Trek. I hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to like our YouTube videos and subscribe to our channel. Audio-only versions of episodes are available at our website, www.text-trek.com. Please check out our site, especially if you just want an audio-only podcast. We have that available for you. Y'all can also keep up with us online. You can follow us on Twitter, @TXTrek, or you can check us out on Facebook at www.TXTrek.com. www.facebook.com/text-trek. Please, by all means, let us know what you think by dropping a comment anywhere you see fit. We definitely want to hear your feedback. Let us know what you liked and what you would like to see more of, what you would like to see differently going forward. If you want to email me directly, go ahead. I can be reached at fatheryactual@text-trek.com. Thank all y'all again. Take care.